no joy in Mudville. This is Penn Jillette sitting here in Vegas with Michael Goudeau. I should say Penn Jillette, loser in every way. I was in, about 15 races that we know of?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. I was Attorney General in New York, lost. Governor of Illinois, lost. Mayor of Chicago, lost. Even lost the waterworks position in Minnesota. My concession speech is, you rat bastards don't deserve it. Cheat, cheat, never beat. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's what I say to all my adversaries. You should all choke on your own vomit. And better yet, choke on someone else's vomit and die. I think you should be a pig. You should be cursed for a million years. And I think that there is no positives to democracy when someone is as upstanding and good as me, who did no negative attack ads whatsoever, did no ads, took no corporate money, no PAC money, no nothing. When a person like me can lose in that many races simultaneously, it's a sad thing. You have a concession speech to make, Goudeau? You lost.
It was a long and hard battle, and I want to thank all the people that worked on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a fine job, and I'm sorry that it didn't turn out differently.
But even sadder than Goudeau and I losing is Kinky losing. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you want to call in.
Let's make his concession speech for him.
Yeah. Well, what Kinky said was, Kinky, oh, you have, Jack has a concession speech? What's that? Yeah, no donuts. That's a sad thing. We get no donuts today. The only thing we had riding on this election was, of course, donuts. If Kinky had won, we were going to have a big party, but Kinky did not win. 866-570-PEN, 7366. Good news for much of America, maybe for all of America, is that Donald Rumsfeld is stepping down. And we want to tell stories about Rummy today. Well, I guess we all knew Rummy. Rummy was around. And if you have a story about Rumsfeld, call in. Make sure it's true. Do you have a Rumsfeld story?
Of course I do.
What is it?
He and I were hitchhiking across country back in 1970.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have any cash, and we used to go into diners, and this is great. So I would go in first, and I would order a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there and just drink my coffee. And he would come in, pretend he didn't know me, and sit next to me at the counter.
Uh-huh.
He was great at this.
Yeah.
And he would order a big breakfast and then eat it. And then he would pick up my tab, my coffee tab.
Oh,
and just
yeah.
pay the coffee and walk out.
Yeah.
And then when I went up, you know, I would say, hey, that other guy took my tab. I just had coffee. And the waiter would vouch for me. And then we would go to another diner, and Rumsfeld would go in, and he would order the coffee, and then I would come in.
Sure. Now, did you like having your coffee before the meal or after?
I like having it before. You know,
so
have a little time to read the paper
after.
And stuff.
And that was Rummy. Rummy had some great scams. Donald Rumsfeld and I, when we were living together. We were lovers. We were living together in Venice, Florida. You know Venice,
yeah,
Florida?
Sure.
Yeah, really
I've been
nice.
There many times.
Phosphorescent water. And
Shark's teeth
on the beach and phosphorescent water. In Venice, Florida, when Rummy and I were lovers. Now, call up with any Donald Rumsfeld stories you have. Please, we want to make sure there's no slander or libel. Everyone has to be absolutely true. 866-570-PEN. And Rummy had this beautiful piece of tattoo work on his back that was a very aroused kind of 50s leather model who was had it wearing a leather jacket and those little gay hat, mm-hmm. hats and sporting, you know, just 9 inches of pink steel. And it was tattooed on his back. And we were in the phosphorus water, and he was spinning in the water, going, which is the real one? Which is the real one? Go out, me and Rummy. We didn't have much money then. And Rumsfeld would find a dog, just any sort of dog. He'd just find a dog, and he'd take a picture of it. Then he'd go to Kinko's, and he'd drop this thing that said, reward for this dog, $1,000 reward for this dog, Chewy, you know, whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd put up these posters all over town, and then we'd just sit on the dog. I mean, not literally. Okay. So Rummy did literally sit on the
he
dog.
He told me about this.
Yeah.
I love
so
this story.
Rumsfeld would then we put the things up for like a day. And after things went up for like a day, Rumsfeld would grab the dog that we had, we took the picture of,
uh-huh.
and he would stagger into a bar acting like he was faced, which was not hard, because he always was faced, or high, or tripping, or this was back when E was legal, so he didn't do any of that, but he would stagger around, and he'd hold the dog and go, I found this dog, and of course, he did this great kind of hillbilly, I found the damn dog, of course, I can't repeat what he'd really be saying, he'd just acting faced, and you know, he used, essentially, he would use alcohol as an aftershave. I mean, he just poured it all over himself. And then when they said, oh, that dog? And he'd say, yeah, I'll sell you the dog for $150. And, of course, they'd seen the posters that were up that this dog was offered for a reward for $1,000. And so a bartender would always buy it from Rummy. He'd get the $150 in cash. The guy would call the number on the Kinko's thing, and it would end up being dial a hearing test. You know, you just call up, boop, 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 and that was all they would get. And the funny thing about that was Rumsfeld was so into this that he would print up $150 worth of Kinko ads. So he only broke even. But he always used to say to me, you know, Pam, it's okay to break even as long as you're screwing someone hard. So he didn't care. As long as he stole money, he didn't care. So if you have a story about Donald Rumsfeld, 866-570-PEN-7366, please, only true stories, only stories that are as true as the ones Goudeau and I told. We don't want to spread any false rumors on someone. We do not like to kick a man when he's down, you know.
That's right.
But Rummy was a good friend of a lot of us. We all knew him. He all hung out. He hitchhiked across the country many times. He was a regular in almost every carny bar and gay bar, which are usually the same. And I toured on the carny with him for a long while. And boy, was he into, you know, the chicken. But let's see who we got here. We got a few people calling about Rumsfeld. I do want to say, hold on, the guys that are calling, but I do want to say another couple things. Kinky had a great concession speech. He said, may the God of your choice, which, of course, I choose none of the above, may the God of your choice bless you, bless me, and bless the slot machine I'm going to. And the spin you want to put on this is Grandma and Kinky together in Texas got enough votes to have beat Perry if they had teamed up together. Of course, Kinky said yesterday that if she won, he'd put a gun in his head and blow his effing brains on up word because he was going to be governor and then he was going to repeal all FCC laws. And the weird thing about Texas not voting in Kinky was he had promised me, he didn't want to do this in front of the campaign, but he promised me he was going to give $100,000 to every person in Texas.
Wow.
Just free money, tax-free. Yeah. Just whatever you want. So I get a ton of Rummy stories. I got Rumsfeld stories, and I'm going to tell as many of them as you want. But other people are calling up with Rumsfeld stories. I want to get to those. We did our concession speech, Kinky. I also want to say that Nathan Santucci did not win in his district, Ron.
25%.
25% of the vote, which is pretty good. When you consider that, you know, that's the number of people I had over for dinner about a week ago. But he did very well. We got Rumsfeld stories. Let's talk to Claudia. You knew Rummy, Claudia?
Oh yeah, we had a three-way.
Oh, did you really? Another girl, another guy.
Another guy.
Another guy.
Of course.
And when was this?
Oh, this was about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like? We down in D.C.?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, D.C. is the initials of the other guy.
Oh, really? Is that true? Is that true? So he was. It was down in D.C. in many senses. You
exactly.
Want to tell us more about it? Now, I want you to swear, Claudia. Swear to God, this is a true story.
Oh, it's as true as yours.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Claudia.
And since I'm an atheist,
tell us a little more about how'd you meet Donald?
Oh, we just. He was cruising, and I picked him up.
Mm-hmm. Where were you in D.C.?
Right near Union Station.
Right near Union Station. He was cruising Union Station?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's moved up in the world. That's pretty good. And this D.C., you don't want to do anything wrong about him. You don't want to trash him.
No, but he could also be known as R.C.
Also R.C. D.C. or R.C.?
Yeah, D.C. is just like his nickname.
I see. And how did you meet him?
Oh, they were together.
Oh, they were together.
They were a couple, and I picked them up.
Oh, really? Was it a good time? Were they good?
No. What did you think?
Did they? Was there money changing hands at all?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, yeah. And who was paying whom?
No, they were paying me. Who else?
Oh, look, I'm sorry. That was an out-of-line question. And did they pay much attention to you, or were they mostly into each other?
Oh, they were into each other.
Yeah.
I was just taking the pictures.
Oh, you were just taking the... Yeah. And do you have the pictures now?
Penradio@gmail.com. Sure.
Just send those in. We'll be looking forward to seeing them. Thank you so much, Claudia.
Thanks, guys.
See, Rumsfeld, it's a shame because no one has gotten that high in American Power that hasn't been that's been this exciting. You know, you don't hear these stories about other people, but old DC and Donald Rumsfeld having fun in DC with Claudia. Sounds like a good time. Let's now we're taking in story 866-570-PEN 7366. This is we want to hear only true stories about Donald Rumsfeld. He's going out of office today, which means whatever stories you tell, there'll be more of them in the future because he's been a little busy lately.
Maybe he's back to partying with us. Yeah, maybe he'll have a little more time to hang with his friends.
He'll be coming out here. We're having a good time. So I'll tell you, get your blotter acid together. Rumsfeld's coming to town. Remember the time that Rumsfeld had like the huge, I was like the biggest new Post-it slips. He said he was going to call George Bush and tell him how to run the war in Iraq. Remember that?
Yeah.
Boy, that was a lot of acid he took.
I think that's when he first came up with the idea to run for office, wasn't it?
I don't think he ran. I think he was appointed. When Bush came up with the idea. Yeah, I think Bush's whole presidency was a Rumsfeld acid trip. But I mean, he didn't intend. He never did. You know, more acid than like Brian Wilson. You know, he never did that much. But I guess in his back pocket of his jeans, and his jeans are always like, you know, ripped and had holes in them all over. And Peggy Young, Neil Young's wife, actually sewed all the patches on Rumsfeld's jeans. Now that's well documented. You can find that anywhere on the web. And after the Gold Rush, the whole second verse after the Gold Rush, Written by Rumsfeld.
Really?
I was lying in a burned-out basement, full moon in my eyes, was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high.
Yeah?
It's so clearly Rummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was such a good guy and a Canadian. Let's take a call. This is Joe. Now, Joe, do you have an absolute swear-to-God true Rumsfeld story for us?
Oh, swear-to-God.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Let's hear it.
Ben Goodell, how are you today?
We're great.
All right.
Never been.
Anyway. You know, Rummy and I used to work together about 20 years ago at the Yoo-Hoo factory in New Jersey.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, he actually got...
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
They got him.
Uh-oh. CIA. The CIA did not want the Yoo-Hoo story to be told.
He was going to expose the recipe.
and they got to us. That was creepy. That was creepy.
Really creepy.
Yeah, that was really creepy. Maybe he'll call back. We'll get the rest of that story. Or maybe he shouldn't call back. Maybe that was...
We're getting a bunch of emails from people with Rumsfeld.
Do you have one you want to read?
Well, I forwarded one to you. I don't know if you'd...
I'll have to go get it. I'm going to go get it. And this is one from Michael Goodell. Oh, this is from Vlad the Impala.
Yeah.
Hi, MG. Rummy taught me how to burp the alphabet.
Yeah.
Punch hobos and mismanage wars. Stayed aft. That's from Carl. And what would you guys have done if you'd been voted dog catchers in Buttcrack, Nebraska? I think the answer would have been M16s. We would have taken out all the dogs in Buttcrack.
Caught him.
I got him. So we're getting a lot of Rummy stories. 866-570-PEN 7366. Now, really, I don't want to be screwing around with this. I want you to swear to God that the story is true that you're going to tell about Donald Rumsfeld. I told a few, but let's talk to Pat. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well, Penn. How are you?
Good, good. Did you know Rummy?
I met him. I met him once when he was, you know, he's from Illinois, and I met him here once in Chicago, and I swear to you, the story is true.
Uh-huh, good.
I was at a downtown Chicago one night, you know, just hanging out, reading a book, and Rummy came in and saw me sitting there at the bar and offered to buy me a drink, and, you know, we talked for a while, had a nice time. Well, the next thing I know, I'm waking up in his hotel room in the tub full of ice.
Oh, yeah.
He stole my kidney.
Yep. Yeah. I, that was Rummy, and he probably left you a little cute note, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. It was, but, I mean, you know, I guess in a way, if it kept him alive, that, or, you know, that's fine.
Oh, I just want to tell you, no. He did not steal the kidney for himself. He was selling them on the black market.
Okay.
He did not need a kidney. His kidneys had so much practice filtering all that alcohol. His kidneys were doing fine. He was stealing them, and he was selling them. He was selling them mostly to terrorists.
Because
a lot of the terrorists have kidney problems. He would sell them to them. He would trade them for, you know, arms or something.
I've heard that.
He would do that. So that's what he was doing. That was he was doing there. But it's how you feeling without the kidney? You doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I shared dialysis with Bin Laden, so
Sure. Yeah, he.
I only have to since I've still got one good kidney.
Of course, and well, you don't want to be greedy. It's for the cause.
Right.
Well, thank
right.
you so much, Pat. Thank you. Yeah, it's a common misconception. You know, we have several Gmails written in about Rummy stealing a kidney from people, and it's a common misconception that he needed the kidneys. He didn't need them. Sometimes he would sell them to terrorists, and sometimes he would just throw them away laughing. Remember that?
Yeah.
I remember coming over to my house. He came over one night. We were sitting watching TV over your house, and he came in with a kidney in each hand going, I'm the kidney king. I'm the kidney king, and that was he just danced around for a while.
When he stole mine, and this is something that still kind of stings a little bit.
Yeah.
He sewed it up with mint flavored dental floss. And I can, every now and then I can still kind of feel that scar. It just feels cold. Just in that spot.
Yeah, you get that little... He loved the menthol. You know, he used to roll his crack. He used to buy Cools. And he used to pull out all the tobacco, the Cools, and put in crack. And just so he'd get that menthol. He loved that menthol. So he was probably... a lot of times, if he took a kidney out, he would lick the wound. So he probably had that mint dental floss in there to increase his enjoyment. Because Rumsfeld was all about his enjoyment. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jim, this is Penn on the Big Free FM, 866-570-PEN. Do you have a Rumsfeld story?
Yes, so I was in a copy band of the Village People with him.
Oh, cover band, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was it a tribute band or a cover band? Did you dress up?
Well, it was more of a tribute band.
Uh-huh.
And he was the all-leather mutton chops, and I was the cop. You know,
uh-huh.
it was a beautiful thing, really.
How long did you tour?
Oh, about 3 years.
And where were we touring mostly?
Oh, just, you know, San Francisco, you know, New York.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people know he's a great slow dancer. So.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
He's quite a little belt buckle polisher, huh?
you don't. The stories I could tell.
I know the stories you could tell. And the stories we all will. You swear to God this is true, don't you, Jim?
On the Bible.
Okay, thank you so much, Jim. Thanks. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back. Call up with your Rummy story. Donald Rumsfeld is leaving the United States government. He's resigning. There'll be more time for Party Rummy to hit all of our lives. Call up with your true Rumsfeld story. We'll be back after this. That's Donald Rumsfeld playing the piano with the big Pendulette theme. He's a hell of a piano player, isn't he? He does the Art Tatum licks perfectly. Just fabulous. This is Pendulette, a dear personal friend, the next lover of Donald Rumsfeld. Maybe he'll come back again now that he's the distance isn't tearing us apart. And a good friend of Michael Goudreau's. He was on the clown train with Ringling Brothers.
Yeah, he had the place, the suite right next to me there.
Yeah.
We called them suites, even though they were 3.5 by 6.5.
Uh-huh.
And at night, you could hear him. He would be in there humming the Rocky theme night after night
until he went to sleep.
Yeah, until he went to sleep every morning.
Well, there's a lot of we're asking people, and I want to be very careful. We are going out over the radio, so if you're going to tell a Donald Rumsfeld story, please make sure that it's true. I want you to swear to God everything we told has been true. Please make sure it's true. I don't want people just calling up and making up random stuff about Donald.
Christian has written in saying we're going to need to get Jonesy to write a libel Wednesday for us.
Let's talk to Kaz. Is it Kaz?
Yes, it is.
What's up, Kaz?
Hey, how are you, Penn?
Very well, thank you.
Just want to let you know that I love BS. Mm-hmm. Great show.
Thank you so much, man.
Just wanted to tell about time. Were you with him in the 80s?
I knew him in the 80s, sure. I wasn't with him all the time, but I knew him. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you remember his stint. And Rummy and the Russian Rockets, the socialist reggae band.
Oh yeah. I was listening to them today. I just ripped some of the old LPs. So if you ever want an MP3, I got them. Yeah.
I was the bass player.
Really?
Yeah, I was the bass player. And funny story, one time we were opening up for the Wailers.
Did he have his dreads then?
He was just growing them out.
Just growing out his dreads, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he kind of kicked me out because I became more of a communist than a socialist. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a nut about that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And go ahead, tell the story. I'm interrupting you. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. So we're opening up for the Whalers, mm-hmm. and it's about 10 minutes before showtime, and he comes in, and I don't know what he was on. I think it might have been shrooms or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like,
well, he used to roll, though, when he was doing the reggae stuff, he rolled these spliffs in the Sunday New York Times. I mean, they were huge.
Uh-oh.
They were the size of a hoagie. That's what he'd smoke, you know?
Yeah, because he smelled terrible, so it must have been something like that.
Yeah.
So he comes in, he's like, yo, listen, I've got the greatest idea. We're going to have a seance. And I'm like, Rummy, what are you talking about? You know, We're atheists. We can't do this. He's like, no.
And you wouldn't say to Rummy, what are you high? Because he always was.
Yeah, and plus he always got angry if you put it out in the open sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
So he basically wanted to have a seance and to have Bob Marley and Vladimir Lenin come out.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to have them kind of possess his body so that when he went out, he could actually put on the show of his life.
Uh-huh.
But the problem came down to the fact that we needed a virgin sacrifice, so we basically had to run around and we couldn't really find anybody.
Well,
so
when Rummy was around, there were no virgins, that was for sure.
Yeah. Well, the problem came down to the fact that he tried getting one of his kids.
Uh-huh.
And so the problem was that we already drew the barfumet down on the ground and we put out the candles, and I was kind of weary of this because he already had a couple of drug arrests. The police were pretty much watching him all the time.
Sure.
And now he's leading this little kid into the room there, putting him down, and he's sharpening up the knives and everything. It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't really work out for him, though, because when he tried to go down and go for the sacrifice, he ended up cutting his leg.
Uh-huh.
And blood was going everywhere. When he tried to, you know, fix it up, trying to throw the knife away, cut up his finger so he couldn't play guitar anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's basically why he ended his career as a musician.
See, I didn't know that. I knew that he stopped playing with Rummy and the Russian Rockets, but I didn't know exactly why. I thought it might have been philosophical, but it turns out it was physical, right?
Yeah, it was a failed ritual.
There was already one nine-figure guitarist because Jerry Garcia was still alive then, so he didn't want to cash in on that. So it's a very, very good move. Well, thank you so much. How's the bass playing? Who are you playing with now?
Who am I playing with now? Oh, now I'm playing with Zany and the Czarist Trio. So.
Okay, so you're staying there. Okay.
Thank you so much, Kaz.
No problem.
Yeah. Kaz is a big guy for alliteration and communism.
Yeah.
Which really go together very, very well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I have the. I was just dusting off the old. The old LPs of the vinyl. You know, a lot of these... Rummy and the Russian Rockets, a lot of those beats are used in the new Diddy album.
Yeah.
The new Diddy album is using a lot of the beats that
Diddy?
Rummy laid down. Well, it was Rummy Diddy. Rummy Diddy. But then Rummy went off, you know, and didn't do that anymore. So let's see.
We got another email here, and this one, they're not actually willing to swear to God on this because... they have a lot of respect for the band that they're mentioning, but Sue has written in and said that she heard that Rummy was the actual lead singer on Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Well, I know that he and Freddie were lovers for a long while, so it's possible that he filled in. Who wasn't? Exactly.
Freddie, I mean, come on.
I've got one here, an email, and this person does swear to this. I was at a press conference where a Republican handler was holding the cutest little Donald Rumsfeld. The handler handed me a bottle. I picked up Donald to feed him, and he was oh so cute. Well, I was holding him in my hands, feeding the little Republican, when the bottle ran out. Handler, and she said, no problem, I'll get him. The handler came over, grabbed little Donald, and when she did, she must have surprised him because he bit. The worst part about the whole ordeal was the Republican National Committee wanted to sue me for the medical checkup on Donald because I might have poisoned him. That's a true story from Paul in Jersey. He swears to that. It was a little allusion to Monkey Tuesday here. Are you sending me a ton of these Gmails?
Well, they're just coming in, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's a tribute to the man.
This is from my good friend Natasha, who says, I met Rummy after you'd thrown him over for that stripper in Toledo. Having forever ruined him for ass grab bingo, he was determined to get you out of his heart and that leather daddy off his back. He came into my tattoo parlor, and after a few hours of design work and several bottles of Zima, we settled on blacking out the whole thing and turning into an obelisk from that sexy monkey scene in 2001. And I swear to the God of the Catholic school I escaped from that it's all true. So Natasha is the one that did the cover-up work on Rumsfeld Leather Boy tattoo.
Nice.
On the back of his, on his back. So. There's a lot of stuff. We're going to miss him, you know, because all of us who loved physically Rumsfeld for all those years were so happy to have him in the White House and doing the same kind of zany, nutty stuff. That's the thing about Rumsfeld. No matter what he did, whether playing in a reggae band or running a war overseas, he was the same kind of nutty, wild, I'll-do-anything.
I like that he was such a good actor that you could never really tell when he was serious and when he was kidding.
He was a
that was the
star.
Greatest part.
Yeah, he would put people
this
on.
This performance art stuff, man,
oh, yeah.
He was the best.
And when he sent out, you know, he sent out all those mailings to all his friends saying that their HIV results came in and they were positive.
Yeah.
He sent those out. There was a phone number on them. And when you called, he would keep people going forever. He'd bring them into clinics and stuff. He just would not let go with a joke. When Rummy, he was like a terrier with a slipper. When Rummy had a joke, he would not let down. I mean, you think that Sasha Baron Cohen,
yeah.
You know, that stays in character.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to Rummy. You know, he told us he was going to get some sort of job with George Bush and that even George Bush wouldn't know he's being put on. And I'll tell you, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people think that Rumsfeld was for real. Let's talk to Kirk. Hey, Kirk, this is Penn. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Never better, boss. Never better. You got a Rummy story?
Yeah, Rummy and I go way back. I was his crack dealer slash massage therapist for years.
Oh, really? Oh, really? That was when he was in his Christian phase, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of. But, you know, he used to want me to do some pretty freaky stuff, and he was, you know, he's a pretty demanding guy. He would always want a happy finish.
Oh, sure.
And,
he was big on executive release, right?
Yeah, he was, truly. It was pretty sick. You know, before he hit the pipe, he wasn't so bad, but, you know, once he started hitting on that pipe, he was pretty demanding. He'd have me do some freaky stuff, and he'd always demand the candles being lit and incense, the whole nine yards. But after the massage, despite the crack, he'd be mellow and loving and a lot more giving.
He could be, when you want to talk about sexually giving, you're talking about Rumsfeld. I learned so much from him about man-ass. He was one of the greatest men of all time as a lover. And I'm not sure I agree with everything he did in Iraq, but really what's more important, you know, how you treat an overseas war, how you deal with a sovereign country, or how you really make love, which is more important. I mean, even the hippies said, make love, not war. What they meant
absolutely
by that was, who cares what you're doing with the war? How are you in the sack?
Right.
I think,
are you
I think
a
no
good
one.
Lover?
We may disagree with what he did over in Iraq, but no one disagrees what he did when he was on the crack.
No, he's a very, very giving lover.
Yeah, Iraq on the crack. That's what he used to say all the time.
There you go.
Going to Iraq on the crack. Thank you so much, Kirk.
Sure.
So we got a lot of calls. I mean, he's being remembered. Now, I'm acting like, you know, Rumsfeld's dead or something. He's not. He just left this particular gag, this particular goof he was doing, and now he's moving on. Who knows where he'll show up? He could show up anywhere.
Pyramid schemes, I think.
Pyramid schemes. Yeah, he was always saying, I'm the pilot. I'm the pilot. You're my little. So, and, you know, I'll tell you, Jim Rummy.
Yeah.
You know what that's named after. Let's talk to Peggy. Hey, Peggy, this is Penn. How you doing?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. What's up?
I knew Donald Rumsfeld when I was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you why he doesn't like the military, why he's putting all those people up in front of all those weapons and getting them all killed. It was all because of me.
What'd you do?
We had a party. It was one of those near beer parties in Riyadh because you can't drink alcohol, and it was pig night.
Uh-huh.
I brought the man to pig night, and I really thought I was going to win. I mean, I had it down. Somebody brought Sununu, and it just blew me away.
Do you know what she's talking about?
Yeah, it's pig night.
Pig night, okay. Okay, and you got him angry.
What's your problem,
enough?
Dude?
I got him angry. He's never gotten over it.
He thought he was going to win pig night, and he didn't.
Yeah,
and,
so
he
that's
didn't win, Sununu won it.
See?
Okay, thank you so much, Peggy. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of your please make sure absolutely true Donald Rumsfeld stories. 866-570-BEDS, 7366, here on Libel Wednesday. Hear that guitar? Tell you, Rumsfeld always has a career playing guitar. Hear that searing guitar with the Mike Jones Orchestra? That is, what's that? He's shredding. I tell you, he is shredding. And Rumsfeld, one of the greatest guitar players I've ever met.
I don't know why he stuck so much with that reggae
stuff. Really wonderful. Yeah. I don't know why he was so interested in the reggae, but he was such a monster guitar player. I have a few. We're telling, for those of you who just tuned in, as everybody knows, Donald Rumsfeld is resigning. Donald Rumsfeld. You know, we always called him Rummy. He's resigning. He's stepping down. And we just thought, kind of in honor of him, we would have a little day of just telling just true Donald Rumsfeld stories. If you have a Rumsfeld story that you're willing to swear to God is true, call us up, 866-570-PEN, 7366, and tell us your goofy Rumsfeld story. Thomas has written in and said, I'm so glad, he's written it like that, you're allowing us to relate our stories about Rummy. I feel he's been cast in a very poor light recently. My memory is years back. I would like to say the mid-80s. We would spend winter weekends together. We'd make up some harebrained excuses to our wives and drive to Aspen, get a cozy cottage in the mountains. There we'd build a nice warm fire, lay down in a few pillows in front, and there we'd sit sipping Merlot. With his head in my lap, and I would read from Prairie Home Companion. Sometimes we would switch positions. He would gently pull my hair. Good times. There were also times we would cruise for massages from men and score some meth. But that was our nights. Love the show, from Tom C. You got another one?
Oh, yeah, sure. Here's from Ron. Ron says he was camping on the north rim of the Grand Canyon and met up with a guy who he would later learn was Rummy. He was poorly provisioned, and so I shared some of my freeze-dried stuff with him. I planned to hike down to Walker Ranch at the floor of the canyon, so I asked Rummy if he would pack a couple of gallons of water and set out at daybreak with me. But he kept insisting he'd rather go down on a mule. So,
yeah.
So he's, you know. That's a great story.
That's a very nice story. He's a big camper, big outdoorsman.
Yeah.
Big outdoorsman, big reggae fan. And Pete may have part of his career I didn't know. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's your Rumsfeld story?
Well, like you were saying before, when he the carny bars, he actually learned how to wrestle after he stopped doing the chicken tricks.
Because his chicken tricks were fabulous.
Right. And then he started getting into the world of professional wrestling from there. I was lucky enough, maybe about 7-8 years ago, to wrestle him while he was wearing a mask. He was known as the Masked Defender.
Oh, the masked offender or defender?
Defender.
Defender, okay. What was your wrestling name?
I was actually wrestling as a convict at the time.
Uh-huh.
I was the repeat offender.
I see. And how'd the wrestling match go?
Good. I punched him in the mouth, and then he wound up kicking me, suplexing me, and pinning me.
Oh, really? Really? So he won the match?
Yeah, he did.
No, I don't want to trash Rummy here at all. But was it fixed?
No, it was never broken to begin with.
Never. Okay. Thank you so much.
He was waiting for you on that one.
He was waiting. That was an ambush. Here's one from Mike, who says, "Hey, there's a picture of this too. There's a picture of this. Rumsfeld and I used to be fishing buddies. He told me that he loves to kill kittens. One time he stole his neighbor's cat and put it in a meat grinder and made hamburgers. Then he had a BBQ and invited his neighbors and fed them their own cat. I swear this is true." Is from Mike telling stories about Rumsfeld, how we loved him. We're going to get him back because he's been so busy doing those wacky performance art pieces in Iraq that we haven't been seeing him enough. He hardly ever calls me. So now he'll be back. I bet we'll get a call from him tomorrow.
We'll probably get a call from him.
Maybe we can get him on the show, you know, under another name. Because, you know, he sometimes works under the name of Doug Stanhope. I don't know
really?
If you know that. Yeah, he does. So maybe there'll be more Doug Stanhope around now that he's doing that. Let's hope so. I want to take another call. Do you have a better
Please take another call.
Okay, which one do we
Jack
want?
Jack is waving
here?
At us.
What do you want? Okay, let's talk to Adam. Hey, Adam, do you know Rummy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you, sir. What's up?
Great. I'd really like to thank you for this opportunity to reminisce about the fine times that I had with Rummy.
Mm-hmm.
About 30 years ago, we had a vaudeville act, if you will.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was young. I was about 3 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there's details are a little sketchy. And, of course, with the FCC listening and everything,
sure.
I can't go into too much detail.
Be very careful, sure.
But suffice it to say, in a brief summary, a lot of necrophilia,
mm-hmm.
Pedophilia,
mm-hmm.
Scatological humor,
mm-hmm.
Bodily functions, bodily fluids were involved.
Well,
it was an incredible act.
Well, tell me something, Adam. What would you call an act like that?
Oh, well, of course you call it the aristocrats.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, he was one of the aristocrats, wasn't he? Thank you so much, Adam.
The Romocrats.
The Romocrats, they were also called, yeah. A great, great vaudeville act, a fabulous vaudeville act. We're telling stories about Donald Rumsfeld, who is stepping down. His performance art in Iraq will be over. 866-570-PEN, 7366. You know, there's some people that take Rummy seriously. That was always a mistake you make, you know. If you took Rummy seriously for a second, he'd just rip your heart out.
Had you, you know, if he got you there where he knew he had you, it was over.
Yeah, let's talk to JDH?
ZDH.
I'm sorry, ZDH. How you doing, man?
All right, I'm doing good, Penn. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
This is at the time I was actually a Rummy's special cabin boy, and he was captain of a submarine called the Broken Conch.
Yeah.
We took a trip up to the North Pole, because I don't know if you know this, there's an entrance there into the inner Earth, because within the Earth,
sure,
another Earth,
yeah,
with its own operating sun and all that.
Yeah, I didn't see An Inconvenient Truth, so I don't know about this in detail, but it's covered in that movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I
okay.
believe so.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to take a trip up there, and when we got down there, we were sent around by a guy named Sizin Bupip.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the natives there. It's a beautiful place. We went around, and they used to do this act that Rummy, I'm surprised it hasn't caught up on Outer Earth up here. It's called, it was a lot of fun, and, you know, being his special cabin boy, you know, I got to witness firsthand this entire world with Rummy.
Uh-huh.
Traveling through poppy fields.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, he was always traveling through the poppy fields.
Oh, yes,
I mean.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, man. Thanks so much for calling. We'd like to hear those inner Earth adventures on this whole thing. We have to. I want to take another call. I guess you're holding up your fingers. That means take another call on Rumsfeld. This is Don. How you doing, Don?
Hey, Penn. I'm doing great. My mom was one of those flower childs from back in the 60s, the
sure.
Woodstock era and whatnot, and growing up, I never really knew who my dad was. He just wasn't around. And one day, I get a call from Maury Povich,
uh-huh.
and they want to do a story on my life. And I'm like, you know, who am I?
Uh-huh.
Well, growing up, my mom used to call me, you know, her little Rummy, and I never knew why.
Oh, really?
So, you know, we get to Maury Povich show, and they want to do this whole, I guess that. DNA testing or something
sure,
like
sure.
that.
Sure, of course they would, yeah.
And the only thing was they couldn't get a sample from Donald Rumsfeld.
Uh-huh.
But they were pretty sure that I was one of the illegitimate children that he had fathered during the 60s, that wild time with the pot smoking and...
I don't mean to make you feel less special, but he has hundreds.
Yeah, we actually have email from another of his.
Yeah, there's another. Someone just wrote children. In. There's hundreds and hundreds of illegitimate children that Rumsfeld had during the wild 60s. Was your mom at Woodstock?
Oh, yeah, she was.
Well, it wasn't just the brown acid that was circulating during that time. It was also Donald Rumsfeld. He was all over the place. Well, thank you so much, Don. Do you have another one from the,
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the
this
kids?
Yeah, yeah, this is from Sharon. She says she never personally met Rummy, but every time my mom gets drunk on tequila, she starts telling me stories about when she was living on the streets down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And her favorite story is about the time that you and Rumsfeld picked mm-hmm. her up. And,
being Penn?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you,
sure, okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture her.
Yeah, took her home to have your way with her, and... she's heard way too many stories about that four-day weekend, and to this day, she's still not sure if Rumsfeld is her dad or you.
Well, it's hard to tell because we do have similar looks, and there's probably a lot of people with that exact same. Because she was down in Florida, she said, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's when Donnie and I were living in Venice, Florida, with the phosphorescent water and his tattoo on his back. So there were probably a lot of little boys and girls with that same same kind of story. Let's talk to Lou. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's up?
You got yourself a Rumsfeld story?
Yeah, actually, me and Emperor Rumsfeld, before we got onto the Death Star, We actually threw Mace Windu out of a window before a lightsaber battle.
So you had a lightsaber battle? Which side were you on? Were you fighting Rumsfeld or on the same side?
Well, I have to swear on the power.
Blue laser or red laser?
It was red.
The red laser? Red laser battle? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I think a lot of us knew that about Rumsfeld, but it's nice to get a more personal touch. Thank you so much.
He is actually the Dark Lord.
Is he the Dark Lord? I thought he is. I see, this is where I thought he was a Dark Lord. Are you saying he's the Dark Lord?
Well, to be technical, yeah, he is a Dark Lord. Okay. I'm sorry, just a misnomer.
I just got a little bit worried there, but thank you so much, Don.
When you talk to him, he claims to be the Dark Lord.
He does.
People fall for that.
Yeah, people fall. You claim anything.
He'll say it.
Yeah. I'm the Dark Lord of Iraq. You know, he'll say that kind of stuff all the time. Yeah. He won't be saying that anymore. He probably still will be. You know, that's the thing. He will probably resign and then still claim he's working in Iraq. Yeah, he'll use it to pick up chicks. Well, he'll used to pick up anything, you know. We used to call him Donald Anything That Moves Rumsfeld. That was his, and some things that didn't move. There was that hunk of cheese, remember that night of the party? That didn't move much. That didn't stop him from climbing on board. Let's talk to Jared. What's up, Jared?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I bumped into Rummy on a train coming out of Kentucky about 38 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty young at the time, and I had a nervous habit of shuffling cards, you know, when I was nervous. And first time on a train, sitting next to Rumsfeld, I didn't know it was Rumsfeld,
mm-hmm.
I'm shuffling the cards. And he looks over at me, and it was like there was a twinkle in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Son, are you a gambler?"
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him, and I said, "Well, I'm just getting started, but yeah, pretty much." And he goes, "That's funny." And he goes, "Boy, let me give you a bit of advice."
Uh-huh.
And he told me, "You got to know when to hold them,
uh-huh.
know when to fold them,
uh-huh.
know when to walk away,
uh-huh.
and know when to run."
Uh-huh.
And I think the best thing he told me, the thing that really rang true, was that you don't count your money while you're sitting at the table.
Uh-huh.
Because there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Yeah. He would say that stuff a lot. He was very good. And then he would pretend right after that to die in his sleep, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he always would do that final gag at the end, because, you know, Rumsfeld could stop his heart on command. He could stop his heart and act and play dead. It was wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Jared, because, you know, as Donald Rumsfeld taught us all, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them and know when the game is over. We will be counting our money right after this when the libel suits come in here on a very, very important and very, very special Libel Wednesday. I want to tell one more story about Donald Rumsfeld. This is a story that is told by Woody Allen. You know, Rumsfeld always kept a bullet right in his shirt pocket. Did you know that? He's such a hawk, he kept a bullet right in his shirt pocket, kind of right up there. He always had a bullet mm-hmm. there just in case, you know. And one day, Rummy and I were going through the Midwest, and there was a crazed evangelist who was out of his mind, just crazy out of his mind, and he was attacking everybody. And Rumsfeld was kind of trying to protect me a little bit, because I was very scared of evangelists, always have been. And this crazy evangelist took that Bible. He had a Bible in his hand, and he threw the Bible as hard as he could right at Rumsfeld's chest. And if not for the bullet in his pocket, that Bible would have penetrated his heart and killed him. Well, Donald Rumsfeld, come on back. We'll have you on the show anytime. This is Ben Jillette, Michael Goudeau. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and it's time to fold them. We love you, Donald. Sorry you got your ass fired.